Blog Talk Radio.
Are you looking to take your social technology strategies to the next level? Then do we have a show for you. Social Geek Radio co-hosts AK Stout and Deb Evans chat weekly with innovative technology folks who share their experiences, tips, and tricks to help you take your business to the next level. Social Geek Radio is brought to you by Saying It Social and Deb Evans Consulting, LLC. To learn more about their unique services, including but not limited to speaking, consulting, and training, visit AK Stout and DebEvansConsulting.com.
Well, hi, AK. How are you tonight?
Very well, now that my headset is working, just in the nick of time.
Very good. So this is Deb Evans coming to you live from Stagecoach, Texas, and AK in the Towson, Baltimore, Maryland area. So let's get the sports out of the way. How did your team do last week?
Not the best, actually. I'd rather not talk about it.
Now, see, I honestly thought they won. That tells you, when somebody asked me today, so Deb, are you into sports? And I'm going, huh? What? Wait, really?
I know. Because I know that you're not. Because if you were, I would have mentioned how we beat Houston.
But I will tell you that that game was during my granddaughter's birthday party. And, of course, there was a lot of rah, 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 oh, boo, boo, boo. And I'm going, ha, yay, purple. I didn't care. I was wearing purple for her and purple for you, and we were cool. All cool. So I do have to tell you, from your Geek It Out last week, and I have now have two favorite apps, of course, you know, my Charity Miles, but the Donate a Photo. It seems like a lot of my friends are starting to pick up on that Donate a Photo. Great app.
Yeah, I really like it. When I did it today, they told me I had done it the past 4 days. So I think I've only, like, skipped a day or two, or purely because I forgot. It's great. And when I actually run a search in Instagram using one of their hashtags, either just the J&J or Donate a Photo, surprisingly, it doesn't seem like a ton of people are doing it. So hopefully you can also help spread the word a little bit there.
So I'm watching it like we used to watch with Charity Miles and seeing how many charities they add to their inventory. And they've already started tweeting back. And you know how I love that. So they thanked me today for the photo that I posted today. And it's like, you got it. They know how to engage. They're adding their charity. So I really think this is going to be one of the, you know, the good ones that's going to stick around.
I would like to point out that they have not tweeted to me, so.
Oh, I know, but I did know that they tweeted to me. I'm sorry, I've got to be competitive where I can be, so. I'm one up on you, and that's about the only one I'm going to be one up on. Now let's see if we can get them on the show. So I will tweet with them and see if we can get them to join us one night.
Okay, since they like you better, you're in charge of that.
I'm in charge of that. It's my job. Okay. So you have a great guest to introduce and with us tonight, and we're keeping him in the green room until it's time to release him. What do you think?
I think it's time.
Well, then go ahead.
Our guest tonight is my friend, Andrew Rose. And instead of me telling you how wonderful he is, I'm going to let you, Andrew, tell everybody all about what you do, because you do a gazillion different things, and I don't feel like I would do it justice. So go ahead, and if you'd like to tell the story about how we met, you may. And you can also tell us everything that you do.
Boy, thank you, AK and Deb, and I've got to make a confession. I'm coming from a vodka tasting event, and I may have had a few too many.
Oh, all right. I know where the mute button is, Andrew. Let's not go there.
No, in all sincerity, I am on my cell phone talking in my car because I did cut the landline, and this is the best I'm going to be able to do. So hopefully your listeners will be able to hear me fairly clearly. Anyway, so how did I meet AK? I love all things marketing. I'm curious about it. I'm abundantly curious about anything that's new, and I want to experience it. And I'm in the same geographic area as AK. And I kept on seeing this name, AK Stout, popping up on all kinds of social media places, but not just popping up, but doing it the right way. So I was trying to picture, I mean, she certainly has an avatar up there, and the avatar is a very good reflection of how she really does look. But I wasn't sure if AK was really a person, or if AK was a front persona for a large digital media agency. So I figured, okay, the easiest way to discern this would be to ask AK to meet me for coffee at Starbucks, because if you're on Foursquare and you're a friend of hers, you know AK lives at Starbucks, and probably got her own booth in there, considering the amount of money she has spent. Anyway, so AK rebuffs me, and we never connect that way, and I continue to watch her and monitor her. I work for a regional accounting firm, and I often speak to my peers about how to use social media for a variety of ways. And I was asked to give a 8-hour social media course to the Maryland CPA Association. And I figured the best way to figure out if AK was really a person or just a persona, I would invite her to give a presentation on Pinterest and the visual web. And sure enough, AK comes strolling in. But not only that, she killed the presentation. She was awesome. And I was, even anytime she speaks or says something, I learned something. So I realized how valuable she was. And I figured, okay, if she's not going to let me buy her coffee or lunch, I'm just going to keep on putting her on stage. And that way, then, I can learn from AK by sharing a panel with her or putting her up there. And she is tremendous. But Deb, you really, the two of you guys here, have got the mind share of social media. AK is the boss.
See, and that's why I let you tell the story, because I need my ego inflated a little bit every now and then.
he did a fine job.
All right, Andrew, so tell us everything that you're involved in and what you do. And specifically, I'd like you to tell our listeners, because they might be interested in it, in the Marketing Director Support Group.
Sure. So I don't have a marketing background. I never took a class in college about marketing. I never had a job that any of my requirements were even tangentially related to marketing. And when the CPA firm that I'm with now recruited me to be their marketing director, I turned them down because I conceptually had no clue what this meant. And it got to the point where the offer was so enticing, one of those godfather offers, and I couldn't say no to it. I accepted, and they give me a great big office with a big desk and a budget. I've got a bucket of house money to spend on marketing. I've got a marketing agency on a retainer, and I have no clue what I'm doing. So I'm sitting there, and people are looking at me saying, okay, what are our orders? What are we going to do now? I had no idea. Now, I have all the encumberments of modern life, mortgage, family, bill, a new job. I have no clue what I'm doing. So what I figured the best survival technique would be to gather a small group of my peers and bring in speakers every month. People wasn't AK at first, but people like AK who had a deep knowledge of one of those facets of marketing that I needed to learn about. So over the almost 11 years I've had this study club, through word of mouth, it's gone from less than 15 people to over 20,000 members now internationally. And we're starting to set up chapters in different parts of the country so we can share this information then with people who are in the same position I was back then, and let them know that there's a mechanism that they can go to these classes and learn. And our mission is different from the AMA, the Association Marketing, the American Marketing Association, I believe the acronym. Anyway, we have 100% non-solicitation policy. So if you're a vendor, you're welcome to come and learn and share the information. You are not welcome to solicit our members to buy your product or services. without them asking you. And AMA has a different philosophy where they are a conduit for sponsors to reach marketing directors. Education, I think, is either secondary or tertiary on their primary focus, which is a shame because it took a lot of work to build this group, and now I have the safe environment group for people to come to. And I don't know if you have read the Malcolm Gladwell book about how anyone who spends 10,000 hours on something becomes great at that thing. I've had my 10,000 hours in marketing, and it runs the gamut, the digital, the print, networking. I've had great classes and all that. I've gotten very good at what I do for our CPA firm, but I'm also a huge proponent about giving back to my community and teaching them those lessons and things that I've learned. And when AK said, "Hey, Andrew, we want you to do the show here," I get brain freeze because I could talk about 10 gazillion different things.
I know. I didn't know what to ask you to speak on. I was like, oh, gosh, I'd rather you just tell me what your favorite thing is because I know you could speak on anything.
Right. So frequently I'm asked to speak on social media topics. That seems to be the corner I've been painted into on a national basis. When CPA societies need to have someone come in and talk to their members that can offer credit, if you're a certified public accountant, you are required, at least in Maryland, to get 40 hours a year in continuing education credit. I'm an accredited speaker, so when a CPA society somewhere in the country needs to have fluff that fills in the audit or forensics or whatever that thing is that they're speaking about, they bring me in to talk about social media. I'll be up in Philadelphia tomorrow, quick plug, speaking to a group there about the future of social media, the future of technology, and how the two are going to be intertwined. So I talk a lot about that, and for me, it's one of those topics that I can, you know, it's almost rote. I know what the slide's going to say. I know all the intricacies of it and how it plays. So I was excited about this because I get to talk about a really fun topic, how to complain using social media and get resolutions to your problems. And this is something I've had a great deal of success doing, and it's almost like having a superpower that you're reluctant to use because I've gotten so good at it, I don't want to hurt anybody by saying anything bad on the internet or in a way that's reflect poorly on that company or that individual that provided me a poor product or service, but I do want to get resolution. And so I thought it might be different and beneficial for your listeners to hear some of the techniques that I've used to do it to complain, but also on the receiving end. So if you're a small business owner or franchisee and someone posts something negative about you or your product, your services, your staff, you'll know how to respond appropriately and turn that negative into a positive.
Well, very good. So, all right, so I have a problem with a company. What should be my very first step?
Well, the first thing you want to do is calm down. your first reaction is to go pound a bunch of vodka and just rant and rave about Foursquare. That's not what you want to do. No, in all seriousness, take a deep breath and put things in perspective because a lot of times when complaints are lodged, they're lodged at the heat of the moment. For those of you who are on Yelp and you've read many of these negative reviews, and some of them are pretty humorous, many of the reviews are written while that person is in the restaurant, the shop, the vicinity, or within a very short time period when the event occurred. And a lot of times, that's the only review they have written on Yelp is that negative one. And as a side note, for those of you who are avid reviewers, the majority of the negative reviews I see on Yelp begin with a sentence, "I got a Groupon," or "living social coupon." And I think of these poor retailers and restaurants where they want to get some exposure. They view this as a vehicle, and they get slammed with incoming business. So they feel they need to offer some sort of cut-rate service or product because they're losing a little bit of the front end, but what they don't realize is that they're stressing their staff, they're stressing the prospects and customers that come in. It's not a good reflection. So I don't know if you guys have done a couponing session on how to approach that in a good way. That might be an interesting topic. But anyway, for those of you who get a Groupon and you have a bad experience, please remember this poor proprietor is getting slammed with business at a discount, and their staff is maybe getting psychological psychologically defensive because they feel they're giving away something they probably should without looking at the bigger picture. So I would counsel anyone out there who's thinking about running a negative review because they had a bad coupon, just calm down and put it in perspective and give them a break. So back to your question. Let's say, for example, I'll give you a prime example here. Comcast Cable, one of these behemoth companies that people love to hate. I came home from a long day at work, and in the middle of the TV room floor is a remote control, which is kind of strange to begin with because with kids and a wife who likes to clean, it's never in the middle of the floor. It's always on the armrest or something like that. Anyway,
yeah.
Go to turn the TV on. The remote control doesn't work. I take the batteries out, put the batteries in. Remote control doesn't work. I'm like, oh, crap. You know, because for those of you who have Comcast and maybe Time Warner is the same way, you get one remote per box per TV. So even though I have multiple TVs, I don't have enough remotes to go around to do this. So long story short, I call Comcast customer service and say, hey, listen, remote control is about broken. I'd like to get another one. And the lady said, well, you need to come over to our facility and pick it up. And the facility is not anywhere close to where I live or where I work, nor is it close to where my wife works. And we work all day. So it would be a very much of an inconvenience to go and get this very simple, low-cost item. So I said, listen, can you mail it to me? I will pay extra. I'll pay whatever you say is fair if you mail it. She goes, no problem, maybe $15. I'm like, great, done, do it. Wait around about a week, the quote doesn't come. Okay. So I call back up, speak to another person, I said, listen, here's the story. Order remote never came, and they said, well, you know, we're really busy here. We're sorry that happened. We'll put it in the mail. You'll get it. If you don't have it in a week, give us a call. You know what happens? A week later, I don't have the remote. Now I'm getting a little bit ticked off about this. So call back, and I get this guy. He goes, Mr. Rose, I am sincerely sorry. I have the remote in my hand. I'm walking over to the mail room. This will go in the mail to you. If you don't have it in 2 days, call back. Didn't have the remote. So I call again, and of course, everyone's very apologetic about this, but I don't have a remote. It's going almost a month now without a remote. You can't help me, whoever you are answering the phone. Please connect me to your supervisor. And they did that, and the supervisor said, oh, we have a policy. We will never mail a remote, ever. No matter what you pay, you have to come here and pick it up. Sounds to me like you got a training issue here going on. And so she said, well, that's just the way it is, and you're going to have to come and pick it up. End of story, no negotiation or nothing. I'm a little hot under the collar. I know what to do. So I relax a little bit. I do my research. I go to all the different social media outlets and try to figure out which ones does Comcast respond to with the greatest frequency. Obviously, you've got Facebook and Twitter are kind of the two main conduits for that companies like that will monitor. Some will monitor Yelp, some monitor Foursquare, and maybe some others I'm not aware of. But Twitter and Facebook are the two biggies. And I found out that I could reach them through Twitter more easily. And I believe I tagged the vice president, one of the senior VPs, in my tweet saying, I had a bad experience. There is a customer training issue that you're falling short on that I need to tell you about. And within, it was a day or two, that vice president of Comcast called me personally and said, Mr. Rose, I saw this. What can we do to help you? And so I told him the whole story, and he said, okay, what would you like for us to do to make this right? And this is something that's so critical. If you're complaining, you have to know what kind of resolution, within a reason, that you want from the issue that you had. So I said, Mr. Vice President, what would make me happy is if you have a technician drive to my house, give my wife a remote control and apologize to her. I said, that's all I want. And he said, done. So lo and behold, the next day, a Comcast technician drives to my house, new remote control, apologizes profusely, says, Mr. Rose, while I'm here, what other issues are you having with any of your electronic Comcast devices that we can fix for you right now? I said, none. I said, this is exactly what I wanted to have happen. So it was resolved to my benefit. And some lessons learned from this incident were I didn't get angry. I framed this as a customer training issue. And big companies want to hear that because they have systems in place. If you see a flaw in one of those systems, raising their attention in a very professional, calm manner, that helps them to calibrate their user experience, their customer experience. And so it was a win-win all around. They found the flaw. There was a training issue. Their low-level staffers did not know they weren't allowed to mail it. I got my remote controls and an apology, but I also figured out how does Comcast listen to these complaints and respond to them most expediently.
Right. How did you go about finding the Twitter handle for the guy who was higher up at Comcast so that you could include him in your tweet?
I didn't find his. I found his name. I believe it was Comcast Cares. I should have researched it before I called you. But most of these large companies have some sort of complaint conduit. Bank of America Cares, Comcast Cares, and a lot of times, which I think is really cool, is that the person who responds will respond with their real name. So it might be Matt at Comcast Cares responds. In a very vocal way. And I think that's pretty neat. I think a lot of companies can learn from that to personalize who that individual is who's responding to customer issues. Or it could be a compliment. But put a human face on it. And, you know, again, not to get too high up on the horse here, but I always appreciate companies that have a human picture as the avatar rather than a logo or some bland thing. I want to see a person. I work for CPAs. We put numbers in boxes like every other CPA firm, but I want to have pictures of our people anywhere that we are on social media so people connect to us as individuals and people. I think as a human being, you want to have that sort of thing.
Right. So would you recommend, okay, so let's say you tweeted to them and you didn't hear anything. Would you then go and post to Facebook or see if they're on Google Plus and go to multiple social sites to try to get a response from them?
Exactly. So I was at a five-star hotel in Chicago, right near the B in Millennial Park, and I went up to my room. I was at a conference, so I had to do some work there. Turned on the Internet there, and the Internet was woefully slow. And, you know, everyone always says, oh, the Internet there was slow. It took me 12 and a half minutes to load the hotel's Facebook page. That slow. And I tied it because it was a goof. I mean, I was just like, this is just beyond ridiculous. And so I wrote on Foursquare a tip about the hotel. And I wrote something on their Facebook page, and I tweeted to them. They responded to me on their Facebook page. So sometimes they actively monitor certain channels. And I don't know if it's just a rotating. They look at one channel for 15 minutes, another channel. Or they have one channel live and the rest of them are static and they review them on whatever period of time that is. But they responded to me on Facebook and apologized. And the really cool thing was, after I said that, I went down to another class at the conference. I came back and they had left me an entire flight of chocolates in my room with a coupon to go to the bar and drink free wine all night. And apologized to me for that. But then they said, listen, we're having problems with the Internet, the building. We're very sorry, Mr. Rose, this affected you. But think about if I had just bitched to my friends about that rather than documenting it on a social media channel. And when they gave me all that stuff, I immediately wrote another response to them saying, thank you for, you know, responding to my, you know, the gift and the coupons and all that. Thank you very much. I completely appreciate this, and I'm sorry that I complained so vociferously, or however I worded that thing. But as a human being, again, I was stoked that they listened to me and they figured all this stuff out behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's really cool, especially when you can see something like that does happen, and you're like, oh, okay, you know, I feel like I did the right thing. But would you say that the first step of getting customer service nowadays is still to call a company or send an email? Or would you say that people are sort of circumventing that sort of older process and going to social first?
You know, it's hard to generalize, but I would suspect, giving trends, that people will go to social first because there is a veil of anonymity when you do something like that. So you might be more harsh about what it is that you say, rather than calling. You know, as a CPA firm, I appreciate it when I get an email or a phone call from a dissatisfied customer because that allows me to address the situation in a very private, confidential manner. Someone that posts something that up on the internet, then there's got to be a response mechanism that occurs at that point in time. So I would think the latter rather than the former in that one. And then as a person who is in charge of the social media channels out there that I monitor, of course for us, the feedback has been universally positive about people's experience with us. Let's say you are you're in a company and someone has a poor experience. I've seen business owners respond in a very negative, attacking way, defending, and I get this, whatever this company is, it's your baby, someone has called it ugly, and now you're upset, you want to fight back. And I don't know if the two of you have ever watched Gordon Ramsay's issue when he had Amy's Bakery in Arizona, but that's a case study in how not to use social media to respond to the swear at people and question their sexuality and all the other stuff that Amy's Bakery did. Have the two of you seen that episode?
No.
I think, yeah, it was, and Gordon, who is very outrageous anyway, it was quite an interesting show.
It was the only one he quit. It was the only restaurant he
walked away. Yep.
But the episode itself is certainly entertaining and a study in psychology and what have you. But their response on Facebook and Yelp and all the other channels was very telling of what not to do. So as a consumer, you have any bad experience, I say cool down. As a business owner, do the same thing. You know, take ownership of the issue, whether it's perceived or real, and work with it. Because when you resolve an issue like that with a customer or a prospect, likely they're going to be much more loyal to you because you've listened and they've had an impact on the direction your business took because of the way you responded to their complaint. And that's not to say all complaints are legitimate. There is a wonderful restaurant down the street from me, and I know the owners, and I really cherish this restaurant because I know how hard they work on a quality product, and they're always eating at other restaurants to find other recipes they can bring back and give to us, our community. And I read a review about the restaurant that they had rats running around, there was garbage strewn on the floor, and all this. And I know the restaurant, I know this was not true. So I reached out to the owner. I said, hey, there's something on Yelp that I know is not factual. We need to address it. And I said, what happened? He goes, oh, because this guy came in, he demanded I give him a bottle of wine for half price. And I said, no. And he said, the guy flipped me off, began swearing profusely in the restaurant, went outside, did a burnout in the parking lot, waved the finger when it took off, and then wrote this review. And he goes, how do I get it off of Yelp? I said, well, you can't really do that because Yelp's reviews are governed by an algorithm. There's no human hands that go in there and check something that needs to be filtered or removed or what have you. I said, what we need to do is, first of all, I'm going to flag it. I want you to flag it. Tell everyone else with a Yelp account to flag this as a bad review. And that'll put it on the radar screen of the algorithm. And then write a letter to Yelp. Email them saying, listen, this was obviously a hateful experience. Here's my side of the story. And whether that email he wrote or whether it was the flagging or whatever it was happened, this review got flagged within 48 hours and filtered out. So now it no longer influences his star rating at Yelp. So there, whatever that avenue is, so someone says something nasty about you on Twitter or post something on Google+, a lot of times these programs have a mechanism to get the fraudulent, slanderous, whatever that thing is, to have a process, have it removed, flagged, filtered, whatever. And sometimes, and AK, you probably are much more aware of where these buttons or panels are that you can find this information out. But follow the rules of the platform first before taking it upon yourself to fight fire with fire, so to speak. You don't want to be getting into a shouting match with someone that buys ink by the pixels or pixels by the gazillions or whatever the twisted phrase is.
Yeah, I had this issue where my clients hired me to do social media for them, and then they like to go rogue and post on the site, which I would, is nice if they would allow me to sort of guide them and the appropriate ways of doing so. That's probably for a different conversation, but it leads into what I was saying, or what you were saying, Andrew, is I had somebody posted something on one of the Facebook pages that I mentioned, or that I managed, and it wasn't, they didn't actually have the right business. Like, something negative happened in the news about one business, they thought it was this one, and they came and, like, wrote this really horrible thing in one of the comments. And I didn't know for sure that it wasn't their business at first, so before I took any action on it, I emailed my client and I said, you know, I just want to make sure this you, I didn't think it was, but just want to make sure that I have all of the information before I write a response. Well, instead of responding to my email, my client went on to Facebook and deleted it. Just deleted it flat out. And she responded to me and she said, I've taken care of it. Well, then I noticed that she that person then sent a private message to the page. So luckily he didn't, oh, I think she banned him actually also. He sent a private message to the page saying, like, oh, I guess you feel guilty, you know, because you deleted my post, ha, 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 ha. And she goes on to be like, you need to get your information right before you post things on our page, and how dare you? And I was like, oh, gosh, this is why you pay me. It was exactly the thing where she felt so personally involved in her business and wasn't able to kind of, like, pull herself away from, you know, where I may have said something like, oh, sorry, you know, this is not this, yada, yada, yada. And she even asked him if he could then redeem himself by going onto the page and writing something nice about their business. So it was like such a mess. Like, you're completely right. But I think businesses get so emotional about what people say about their own business that, you know, it's really hard sometimes to kind of just calm down before you respond to somebody.
Oh, it is. You know, and I think it's human nature. You know, we have a reptilian brain buried somewhere deep inside there, and when we're attacked, we get a couple of basic responses that happen instantaneously. Unless you allow the rational mind to take over and think through the consequences of your responses, your action, you can really taint your brand. And, you know, a great case in point is Nestle. I don't know if you guys follow the issues with Nestle, but Greenpeace had pinged them because they were something with palm oil. They weren't doing something nice. So people began to spoof the Nestle logo and then use that as their avatar on Facebook and write nasty things on the Nestle site. So Nestle began removing all the nasty stuff, and people called them out for that. And Nestle said, hey, we own this medium. We will delete, you know, we make the rules, not you. And we will sue you if you use our logo in any other way. I mean, they really did not think through. And you don't get in a fight with a bunch of people on Facebook. But you and I both know the troll mentality. If people even see you getting like a little bit of blush coming to your cheeks in an argument, oh, they're going to go all out on you. And they're just going to keep on going until you capitulate or just stop talking, you know. So I completely agree. And again, for the business owners listening, get someone like AK, take some time off, take a day off. Well, I should take a day. You should respond as quickly as possible, but respond rationally and fix the problem. Don't attack the person attacking you.
Yeah.
Well, if you apply the same rules that, you know, when it was only email, I mean, there are many times that I wanted to send a reply via email, and I would actually write it entirely out and then just let it sit and gel. And I go back and I look at it, I go, oh, I should not hit the send button, or I should, you know, tweak this a little bit. So the same principles apply with Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Yelp.
Completely.
At my old job, when I was working for somebody else and not myself, I was sort of in the customer service sort of area with our franchise owners, though, and I was so afraid of that I actually had installed an application to my Outlook that would read my email before I did it, and it would check my tone of my email and ask me if I was sure I wanted to send it.
I remember you sharing that app or that site during the social Geek It Out. It's a good idea.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's still around. I think it was called like Tone Check, maybe. So I went, oh yeah, Tone Check, and it did because it would look for, you know, it has this whole, you know, database of user input of, you know, negative words or negative, you know, word phrases put together. And it would say, are you sure you want to say, you know, this sounds like, it gives you like little smiley faces or little frowny faces, depending on the tone.
Well, you know, then that brings up an important point. I mean, just the same way you don't want to go to drink a copious amount of vodka and go on the radio show, you don't want to drink a copious amount of whatever it is and go tweeting about something or writing a review on Yelp. Unless you're prepared to understand the consequences of your actions. I have one of those phrases, don't drink and tweet, you know. Because you might do something you regret, and you might be like Anthony Weiner and delete it in 5 seconds, but the damage is done, you know.
Right. It's still out there. All right, so I want both of your guys' opinions on this. So I'm one of those people who go to social media first. I don't want to call an 800 number and wait on hold. I don't want to wait 4 days for a company to email me back. I'm of the mindset that if I tweet to them or I post to them on Facebook, that somebody's going to see it sooner rather than later, and hopefully they'll respond. But if they don't and I let it wait a day or maybe 2 days and I don't hear anything from them, then I have to go and, you know, email customer support or take one of those other actions. If that happens, and I've been torn about whether or not to do this, I haven't done it, should I mention to the people who answer my emails or I talk to on the phone that I tried to reach out to them on social media first, but I didn't get any response? Do you think that would be something they should, you know, they would need to know?
I'll answer that first. Absolutely, they should. But if I were in that situation, I would phrase it, I have a customer training suggestion for you here. You've fallen short in these areas, and as a savvy next-generation customer, I expect a response here. And that leads to a deeper issue. A lot of companies either have static accounts or don't have accounts at all. They don't see the value. Oh, I don't want a Twitter account because I have nothing to say. Okay, well, how are you going to listen then to what's being said about you, and how will you respond in that medium if you're not actively participating or monitoring that medium? Hey, Steph, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm totally on board with you. I think you certainly should mention that you are the savvy. And, you know, you don't even have to say you were the savvy customer, but, hey, I was on your social accounts, and they're inactive. So they need to be aware that people are visiting them. And
I don't even mind when they're inactive and they don't respond, because if I go to a Twitter account, I found the company, and they haven't tweeted since 2009, I'm not even going to tweeting to them, because I'm just going to go on a list and assume that they're not active anymore. That actually bothers me less than if I tweet to a company and they haven't responded, and I go back and they've tweeted 10 times since then. So I know that they went to Twitter, but it's more like they blatantly ignored me. I think that's kind of what I have an issue of.
Or they've outsourced their social, and their social agency or whoever it is just sharing information and not monitoring the responses. That is very annoying.
Yeah, and, you know, probably setting it up to auto-tweet or something. All right, so we have a couple more minutes before Geek It Out. Has anybody read about or seen or felt that you did, and again, both of you are free to answer this question, do something creative to get a company to know you when you had a social media problem? I remember seeing, I can't remember if it was Samsung. There was like a guy who wanted a Samsung phone for free, so he drew a dragon. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
I haven't a clue. What are you talking about?
He wanted a Samsung, I swear it was Samsung, and he wanted a cell phone. So he drew a picture of a dragon, and he tweeted to them, or he posted on Facebook and said, like, if I can get an X number of likes, I don't know, something along those lines. But not to answer my own question, anything you guys have seen or heard about like that?
Well, recently I read about, I think it was T-Mobile, was looking to grow their user base at the expense of Sprint. So they were monitoring Sprint's Twitter feed. Anytime someone said something negative about Sprint, T-Mobile responded to them. And a couple of times, the people were saying things in a very profane way about Sprint. And T-Mobile you know, did not even blush at that and responded back saying, well, you wouldn't have had that experience had you been with us. Come on over, and began to proactively pick off customers using social media. I thought that was really edgy, very clever.
Oh, yeah, that is. I mean, I think that's a good tactic. Now, sometimes I wonder how, as a consumer, I would feel about that. So, like, if I had a problem with the same thing and then T-Mobile tweeted to me, I think I would give them kudos for monitoring the mentions of their competitor, but I think I would be very critical about how they phrased their tweet to me. You know, I feel like there'd be a very delicate balance there of being caring while not being too overly self-promotional. I think, you know, that would be something somebody really need to think about.
That's a risk. I mean, that's a risk they're running, that they will alienate people like you. And I would view it from the other side of the street, where I would feel flattered that a big company like T-Mobile said, Andrew, I am sorry you're having a problem with Sprint. Please come and talk to us. I would be like, whoa, that's pretty sweet. But, you know, but again, that would be my reaction. Your reaction is completely valid as well. And that's the risk they run is, you know, you get that little twinge of, oh, I kind of want to be kind of private, a little bit anonymous, and now this giant company has called me out and identified that I spread that message to you, and now the whole world, all T-Mobile follows it. I kind of get both sides of that coin.
Well, what do you think about this? So let's say you're a restaurant in Baltimore, and you're going to monitor mentions for, let's say, a handful of other restaurants in Baltimore, so that if somebody tweets something negative about them, you could, instead of just saying, you know, oh, sorry to hear you had that experience where, you know, a block down the road, we'd love to have you come in. And then would you say that it might be a good idea to then say, you know, mention this tweet and you'll get $1 off your first beer, or your first beer is on us?
Well, you know, that is a very, very good analogy. And I would have a personal lens I would view that through. If it were a mom and pop, you know, a standalone restaurant, I would be a little bit offended by that. If it were, on the other hand, having a bad experience at McDonald's and Burger King saw that, hey, you know, come over here for the charbroiled sandwich and bring in this tweet, and I'll give you a free milkshake. Yeah, you know, it's a little bit less personal with a large chain. If it's a small chain, I think, AK, I would take your side of that. I say, yeah, that's a little bit beyond the pale, in my opinion. Deb, what do you think?
Well, hopefully this will make sense. So, one, we've got two grocery chains here in Houston. We've got H-E-B and Kroger, and they are obviously very competitive. The commercials that annoy me the most are the commercials where one is not bad mouthing, but, you know, come shop here, our prices are better. You know, you have the same thing, I think, with Walmart and whatever it is, you know, shop Walmart and look, we shopped here and our prices are better. I don't, they're being polite, but it's still negative advertising against their competitors. And personally, as a shopper, I don't like that. I mean, I may like the other store better, but, yeah, so I don't know with social media if I would really be name dropping like that.
Yeah. Well, my take on, I've had a couple of clients who wanted to do it, and I sort of advised against it with a caveat. So the reason that I advised against it, so like with the Twitter, you know, if you were going to say, oh, sorry, you had that experience, come to us and we'll give you XYZ discount. Well, unless that person is following you as the business, you can't send them a direct message. So you'd have to respond to them in the public tweet. And my feeling is if too many people went to that account of that business and saw that if they complained in some nature, they were receiving some sort of, you know, discount or, you know, something like that, then everybody in them, you know, would start complaining just because they wanted to receive that discount. So I think, like, if there's a way that, like, maybe on Facebook you could do it where you could then, you know, private message somebody or something like that. But I actually do advise against it when it can be public because, you know, you don't want to run the risk of, you know, all these not true things going out just because people want something.
That's a really, really good point because, Yelp will advise business owners not when they respond to a negative or positive to put any kind of offer out there like that. That offer needs to be made. It needs to be made in a private format, email, direct message, whatever that thing is, just for that very reason. And I know we're running short on time here, AK. A couple of things I want to add about complaining. Remember the traditional ways of complaining, too. If you've got something that needs to be heard, you can use a tactic of overwhelming force. And what I mean by that is you go to every single social media channel, whether this company's on there or not, whether they're monitoring or not, you post whatever that thing is, then you call them up, you send them a written letter, certified mail, and send them a fax all at once. I guarantee you, you will get a response from that company. And please, this is a powerful way to reach a company. When you use it, frame it as a customer training issue, as a customer product, whatever that thing is that they can fix, and let them know what that resolution to you needs to be. Just don't complain for complaining's sake. I would like to have a new whatever it is, and that will make me happy. And here's the problem that I have with mine. Please resolve it. I guarantee you will get a response.
Yeah. That's a really good point. Very good. Well, yeah, Drew, thank you so very much for being on the show. I feel like we have enough information where we could do a part two, and I'm sure the three of us could just chat forever about social media.
Yeah, and I'm sober now. I'm going to go back and drink more vodka.
You have to drive tomorrow to Philadelphia and speak. So we are going to publicly advise you not to do that. And if you want to come back for part two, I know you are. And I love your humor. Thank you.
Well,
for all you children out there, I don't drink and drive, okay? It's all cool.
Well, whatever is next on your agenda. Could you share with everybody and maybe the best way to contact you? And also, if you want to share the way that they can join the Marketing Director Support Group, that would be cool.
Absolutely. You can contact me. I guess Twitter would probably be the easiest way for you to contact me. And that's Nadeen Lean, NadeenLean, all together, and that's my Twitter account. You can tweet me, and I'll find you, and I'll hear you, and I'll respond to you that way. MDSG is mdsg.net, and that will take you to a website, and we can go from there. So I'm happy to answer any questions you have. AK, Deb, thank you. So this has been a real treat. I've never been on a radio show before. I hope the fact that I'm on my cell phone in my car was not an impediment for folks out there to hear what I'm saying, but this is a thrill. Thank you.
Yeah, it was fun having you.
You're welcome to stay on the line if you want, or you're free to go, but we are going to move into Geek It Out.
Let's bring on the song. Hold on. Okay, AK, my windows are open. What really cool Geek It Out sites are we going to start with tonight?
Okay, well, since we had the app edition last week, we're going to do just my one app pick of the week today.
Okay.
And then we have some other sites. So my app pick of the week is called Animobi. It's Animobi. It's Animobi.com. And there's an app for Apple, and I believe it is not yet on Google Play, but it is coming. But this is, it says it's a way of doing presentations and kind of takes it to a whole new level. And you can on the screen, you can upload pictures, and you can put a voiceover behind it, and then you can share it to the various social media sites. But it's supposed to be real quick and easy that you can do from your phone or you can do from a tablet. And there's some, what I like about the site, if you go to the site or if you open the app, is that it has presentations that other people have done so you can sort of get a feel for what you could potentially do with this.
Yeah, you sent that to me earlier the week. I meant to upload it, but on my iPad, because it really does look cool, and I want to share that with some of my education friends, because I just see this just taken off in the classroom.
Oh yeah, I think it would be really neat for kids to even create. There's, I think, a couple of them on here actually done by kids for them to create a little presentation. But definitely, there's some some business applications here as well. If you wanted to do a quick little tutorial or how to, might be a neat way to get somebody's attention. And as you did mention, when you upload the app on, it looks really pretty the way that it comes across.
Yes, it does. You know, I think I might have some fun with that this week. I have a couple of tutorials to write, short ones, so it's like I'll take them by surprise and use this one.
That's very cool. All right, next we have my new go-to site for managing Twitter and Twitter analytics, et cetera. I didn't think I was going to find anything that took the place of follower wonk or something else I can't remember I was using, but this is great. It's called ManageFlitter.com. So manage, and then F as in Frank, LITTER.com. ManageFlitter.com. There's so many different things that you can do with this site, and there are so many, I think there's three different levels. There's a free version, which is the only one that I've used so far, and then there's a couple of different premium accounts. I think one's like $50 and depending on how many accounts that you want to manage. What I really like about it is if I hook up my Twitter in the manage section, it'll tell me the people who aren't following me back. It'll tell me the people that I'm following who don't have a profile picture. So if I happen to follow an egghead for some crazy reason, I could unfollow them right from here. It'll show me who's inactive. So the people I'm following who haven't tweeted in the last 30 days, they'll show me fake accounts. There should be accounts that actually have fake followers. It'll show me people's talkative ratio, their influence, and so on. So I can really go through and I can kind of segment the people that I'm following and decide whether or not it's still somebody good that I want to follow. There's also an awesome search feature. So I'm all about finding your target audience on Twitter by how they self-identify in their Twitter bios. So in the search section, you can search by bio, you can search by latest tweet, by username, by geographic location, and you can do that all by keywords. This is definitely my new go-to, because then once you get the results, you can then filter the results by things like the number of followers, the number of people they're following, but also when their most recent tweet was, how old their account is, things like that. So when I was using follower wonk, it would give you sort of the same results. It didn't have as many options, but their results you couldn't filter. So you might find somebody who looked really good with their bio and the number of people following, et cetera, and you put to follow them, but they hadn't tweeted in 2 years, and the site didn't show you that in any way. So for free, I think this is absolutely the best way I found to do a search for people to follow based on all types of keywords. And then for the, there's analytics, which I think you have to upgrade to get analytics. I haven't looked at that yet, but you can upgrade. It says it starts from $12 a month for an upgrade. You can write what's called Power Posts, where it will analyze the most, or the best time when it thinks that you should tweet based upon when the people who are following you are on. But you can also break that up. So you could say that I want to post on Twitter only when people in a certain location are on Twitter, or only when the people that I'm following are on Twitter. If you do the pro version, you can break it down soon and only post at the certain times when people are doing the most retweets, things like that. So it's supposed to help you get some more visibility for your tweets.
Wow.
There's so much stuff here, and I'm kind of trying to figure out if it will behoove me to do a paid account, because there's so much I can do for free on here already. But it's my new go-to.
That looks like a keeper.
All right. The next site we have is called origami.com. So it's O-R-I-G-A-M-I.com. And it's probably not at all what you think it's going to be like. It's basically a site where you can create a social media site for your family. So it would be private for your family. You just type in your last name, type get started. You can invite people to it so that they can all, you can all see photos, videos, updates, so forth, just like that. So it's,
oh, nice.
I think it has a nice format to it. I believe there is a mobile app component to it. It is $5 a month. Of course, you have to get your family to buy into $5 a month, or maybe you can buy them all a subscription for Christmas.
There you go. You're thinking ahead.
Yeah. But, yeah, it looks really neat. And I've heard, it was actually referred to me by somebody whose family uses it, like, nonstop. They're always going in and posting and everything, because a lot of them didn't want to share pictures of their kids and so forth publicly on Facebook, or didn't want to fool with, you know, segmenting people into groups or lists on Facebook. So they've been loving this.
Nice.
All right. Next we have paperrater.com. So it's paper, P-A-P-E-R, and then R-A-T-E-R. So paperrater.com. And this is an online grammar spell check proofreading program. So you can use it for free. Or there's some advanced options, of course, but you basically put in the title and then you copy the text, whether you're writing a paper for school or you're writing a blog post or an article, whatever the case may be, you just copy the text, post it into the box, and it actually breaks down, and what it'll do is it'll highlight various sections, it'll color code it, so it'll show you your spelling errors, it'll show you, it'll tell you if you've preposition at the end of a sentence. It'll tell you, there's a better word choice that you might suggest using. It'll rate your vocabulary so you can put in sort of the education level of your audience, and it might tell you if you're using too many big words or something like that. So it's really cool. I've actually used it for a couple blog posts lately.
Really? That was going to be my question, if you've used it for blog posts, because I did see this online earlier this week. You may have tweeted it or put it on Facebook. A friend of mine had put it on Facebook, but I hadn't checked it out yet. So that's great.
Yeah, I was skeptical about using it for blog posts because it depends on the blog post I'm writing, because I like to write as like I'm talking. So I don't necessarily always care that my sentences are completely grammatically correct and, you know, sentence structure there and everything. So I was like, oh, gosh, I'm going to plug this in. I'm going to get red flags everywhere. And there were some things where I just ignored, but there were some things where it was legitimate, like, oh, I'm glad I did this, and it found that. So, yeah.
Very good. I'm holding on to that one. I'm going to, well, I guess I should start blogging again.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Awful.
Let's do one more. I think we only have about a minute. But this is an alternative to Evite. It's called paperlesspost.com. Paperlesspost.com, and that's basically my only explanation, is it's an alternative to Evite, and you can get really customized looks and feels for businesses. I actually had a business send me an invite with one of these, which is how I found the site. But I think it looks neat, and if you don't like the other platforms that you're using, you can check this one out and see if it has some designs that you like better.
Very good. Okay. Well, we're running out of time. She's calling us out. So thank you, everybody, for joining us. And Andrew was great. I think he's off and running and going to be speaking tomorrow in Philadelphia. And we have to find him online. And AK, have a great week.
All right. Thanks. Talk to everybody next week.
Yep. And we'll see you online. Have a good one.
All right. Bye-bye.